kid's no dick. I watch them in my arcades. They stand like laboratory rats hitting the feeder bar to get a food pellet. But as long as they keep pumping in the quarters, who gives a shit, right?
Let me ask you something. What is your single biggest problem in the arcade business?
Well, keeping the customer informed of new product. Like, we have a new game called Xantar. Mm. Xantar is a gelatinous cube that eats warriors in a medieval village. And every time it eats a chieftain, you ascend to a higher level. Beauty part is, you can't get to the next level, so the kids keep coughing up quarters, you know?
Gelatinous cube eats village. I think it's terrific.
Oh, we lost the mighty, mighty Ricardo Montalban. Jose Khan himself, the perfect man.
The perfect man.
He's perfect abomination. Storm.
Yes. Now we can't have a eugenics war and decide who is truly superior.
That was World War II.
It's like the gods want us to have nothing but sad podcasts. You go and kill Ricardo Montalban. No. Anyway.
Next week is Santa Claus. Santa Claus is dead.
Santa Claus is dead.
Which, if you're listening and don't know who this is, most notably Khan in Star Trek II, The Wrath of...
Hey.
Yes,
Wrath of Khan.
Or if you're younger, he was in Spy Kids 2.
That's right. Hiya, this is Talk Radar number 34. Welcome, I am Christopher Antista. That over there is Shane Patterpon. And you can say hi, Shane.
Hi.
Aw, man. Did I steal all your energy?
You stole all my intro.
Oh, my bad.
Brett Elston, the third person in this square of... I don't care, go on. I got nothing.
Whoa.
I got nothing. Michael, take it away.
Michael Raparez, PlayStation editor and currently most hated person on Gaff, apparently.
We'll get to Gaff later.
That's a lie, they don't know who I am.
Whatever. We will get to that a little later. We do have a little bit of our audience to rip into. Because we had a big, big, big top 7 this week. Shane Dig Doug Patterson. Who was on Dig twice this week with two big articles, the top 100 games of 2009, and his top 7.
Yes, but the entire staff contributed to that. I just organized it. So right. That's an asterisk.
Okay.
Because everyone contributed to that and did a great job.
I'm welcome.
And isn't this the top 7? Didn't it start as Chris's Genesis, like, in December? So it's another synergy? Or am I misremembering?
It was, but I'm glad Shane took it because I was just talking to him about it. And he's like, all you're suggesting to me is Genesis Tessent stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to use any more of that. No, dude, you got to use...
Use Tasmania. You got to talk about that. I have two Genesis SNES things.
It's top 7, and I really... God, I wish you guys had changed the headline, but top 7 superior games on inferior platforms.
Or it's called Best Ports on Inferior Systems, the actual headline.
Yeah, but ports sound so lame.
It was one of those headlines that sounds good when you say it, but when you write it down, you're like, wait, best superior, it was a lot.
We really had like a 5-minute back and forth that was painful for me to listen to.
The inferior platforms, and holy shit, commenters, we're not calling the platform you love terrible.
Yeah.
It's hardware-wise, it's underpowered. There's no way around it. Your Genesis, I don't care what you think the CPU was less powerful than the
SNES. These systems are underpowered in the way that makes the port on, shine.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you take Genesis was built on technology in 1989 when it was released in the US with a palette of I believe 512 colors.
Compared to what, like a 2,000 over in
there? There were 32,000 colors in the Super Nintendo palette. And it could have many on the screen at one time. Basically, the Super Nintendo games should generally always look much better than the Genesis. But as you'll see, one of these is the exact opposite. The Genesis version inexplicably was better. Animated, looked prettier. Not number 7, though, which is Mortal Kombat.
I know, there's tons of criteria. Mortal Kombat.
Wow. Yeah, Mortal Kombat, man. So, yeah, I had a Genesis, and I completely knew about the blood, and I was like, that's what I'm going for. And I guess when I was younger, I didn't know the difference in in the graphics between Super Nintendo and Genesis until after I had the game. 2 months later, reading an issue of EGM, which none of you will ever, ever read again. sorry to throw that out there. It will be missed. But looking at the screen side by side and saying, wow, the Genesis looks terrible.
Yeah, but
it does. It looks worse, but the inclusion of the blood code, and something I researched and found on Wikipedia, apparently in the Super Nintendo version, the combo system was neutered just a little bit on the Super Nintendo version, and it wasn't arcade perfect, but on the Genesis it was arcade perfect in the way it controlled, plus the inclusion of blood.
I remember like mulling over details like that, being a SNES owner, and not giving a shit when it came to Mortal Kombat. We would all go over to somebody's house with a Genesis before we played on Super Nintendo. Yeah. I'm guessing mostly that was because of the blood. I got my game on Mortal Monday.
Yeah.
I don't remember playing it that much.
The thing is, at the time, blood in a video game to that degree was the novelty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was, now it's such a given. It doesn't even make sense why are you guys arguing about blood being in one versus the other? It's the fact that was what Mortal Kombat was built around.
I said that for Marvel versus DC versus Mortal Kombat. If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, you think Mortal Kombat isn't about blood, you're wrong. Yeah. It always has been. It always has been its cachet.
I agree that it's had to change its tune since like the PS2 era, because every game could have blood if they wanted.
But it had. But what did it do? It went way over the top.
It went like cartoonish.
Next time we're gonna settle down, and they didn't really. They joined universes with a bunch of
cape wearing comic books.
Yes, very serious.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo one, that was like the height of the 16-bit tit for tat. It's Nintendo versus Sega, and I was inexcusably bound to Nintendo, and then the Game Genie code came out almost within the same week.
That turned
the sweat.
The sweat
from Mortal Kombat, the Super Nintendo version, red, and I'm like, see? There, what you got now, guys? It's red. All you gotta do is buy a $40 Game Genie.
I had the Game Genie, and it still didn't, I guess,
that it didn't change the fatalities, though, right?
Did not change the
fatalities. Where Kano just punches straight through someone with no blood and then comes out with nothing.
Comes out with nothing. I remember even trying to argue that the fatalities were more violent, because, like, say, Raiden in Genesis and the arcade, he electrocutes their head explodes. And I'm like, that's pretty violent. But in the Super Nintendo one,
yes, it's violent.
He turns their bodies into ashes, and all that's left is a skull. So actually, you know, that's more violent because, you know, Genesis 1. Genesis,
it's a Disney cartoon. Congratulations.
In Genesis 1, there's a body left.
But still, there was the code you needed for the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get any confirmation from anybody in the office, so maybe someone in the forums can help me. I remember you put in that blood code.
It's at the screen that talks
about codes.
Yeah.
And the arena level, when you fight there, the spectators, they're cut in half. Like, their bodies are cut in half. You'll just see half the bodies of... because they were moving, of moving people. And that's what I remember that arena looking like. And I could only find a video on YouTube, and I tried to show it to you guys, and you're like, I guess that could be what's happening. I'm like, no, it is! It so is. So somebody tell me where the guys, what do you call them? Little Buddhist-looking aliens... Buddhist monks, aliens.
All right.
Yes, we can move on. I'm not turning this into another white whale. This one hurt me dearly.
Wow. Yeah, number six, Aladdin on the Genesis, way better than this Super Nintendo. My God, Super Nintendo, that version was developed at Capcom because they still had a licensing agreement with Disney. And that just looked like, I mean, the animation looked okay, but it looked just and played just like another.
Yeah, it could have been your
platformer.
It could have been like a Good Times game.
You didn't fight with a sword or at all. But on the Genesis version, that used the cell animation provided by the Walt Disney Feature Animation Studio and developed by David Perry, the guy who's in charge of Earthworm.
Hey, Perry! Hey, Perry! Hey, Walter! Hey!
For the whole movies fans out there. Just looked a lot better on the Genesis, and like everything, like the guard animations, like them just eating food and then, you know, getting bombarded by like an apple thrown at them, or like swiping them and their like pants come down, they have heart-shaped boxers, and they're like, holy shit. Just like, animations were fantastic.
It was playing the cartoon, and it wasn't just, it was playing a new cartoon that I was deeply in love with, and I don't know if I've had many of those lately. I was a big fan of the Toy Story SNES game, actually.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Dude, it had like 18 different modes. It was first-person shooting and racing and
platforming.
But,
and
yeah, I remember convincing one of my friends to rent that for me. He didn't forgive me for like a week. I still like it. But Aladdin, I was wondering, a lot of the stuff I suggested originally for this article, like I said, Jurassic Park, because the Genesis Jurassic Park looked like the Jurassic Park game that I wanted to play.
Yeah.
Whereas the Super Nintendo one was like a sprite-y Link to the Past.
Yeah, Link to the Past.
The top and,
and then when you went inside the visitor centers, it was in first person and you were actually hunting dinosaurs. That never happened in the movie.
Yeah.
They ran away from dinosaurs.
Yeah, but I was wondering, is the Capcom SNES version, could that actually be a better game to play?
The Capcom didn't make Jurassic Park.
I'm talking about the Aladdin one.
It was a very typical...
Very astute of you, though, Brett.
Hop on the enemy's head, throw an apple. There was no...
There was a lot of apple throwing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I do remember
my
that.
Friend, at one point, my friend came over and brought both, and that's when I was at the high... Again, this is like, I think it's the same year, even, as Mortal Kombat, if not very close.
We're all talking about games in 92 and 93.
Oh, yeah. And... Even then, I was like, yeah, Genesis one looks better. Like, I couldn't help it.
It's the one you wanted to play.
Yeah. I, to this day, have not seen Aladdin, so I don't have any particular...
The movie?
Nah.
Wow.
No.
Jesus.
That's
a bad Brett.
The last Disney movie I saw was Beauty and the Beast.
Are you...
Jesus!
Come on, I gotta go outside for...
Really? And you're back.
Yeah, hello. The last Disney movie. Okay, wait a second. Hold on. Hold the phone. You have not seen The Lion King.
I said I haven't seen one since Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
That means every movie since Beauty and the Beast.
You have not seen The Lion King.
What did I say?
I want you to say it right now.
What have I now said twice?
I, Brett Elston, have not seen The Lion King.
I, Brett Elston, have not seen Good Times.
Fail!
You're like shrieking like a cat in heat.
You haven't seen The Rescuers Down Under?
Yeah.
All right. Did you see something after
like
the Beast? I think I win.
I thought that was the same year as...
That is not. That is also the first thing Pixar ever did for Disney. Thank you. Moving on to number 5.
I did see Tarzan, though. I have seen that.
So you've seen several movies after Beauty and the Beast.
Moving on.
I've only seen Tarzan, though. sorry, I didn't see Home on the Range opening weekend.
Moving the fudge on. Number 5, Michael, I need you here. Stop reading the YoGAF. We'll get to those assholes later.
Number 5, X-Men versus Street Fighter. Better on the Saturn than the PlayStation because the main component of that game is tag team fighting. You can't do that on the PlayStation. Well, with the code, you can, but only like palette swaps if you're fighting the same characters and only with like cheat
device. There's a code to do what the game can't.
Or it was a cheat device. Whatever the cheat device was at the time.
It was a very half-assed workaround.
Yeah. And they had to drop like whole sprite frames like of animation to be able to run properly. A lot of loading screens. The Saturn, that version never came out in the U.S., but people still imported it because it worked! Hey!
My neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which you did to spend extra money on the RAM cart to give Saturn extra RAM, but it was an arcade perfect port of, at the time, the most demanding 2D game out, like, period. Mm-hmm. So to see that running in someone's home was pretty outstanding.
On a system that Sega had already given up on.
Yeah, pretty
in
much.
In the United States.
Was already dead.
It sucks that we talked about it so much last week, how Saturn was the ultimate 2D machine. Maybe if it came out in place of the Sega CD, it would have rocked all of our asses into oblivion.
Also, they should have thought about 3D.
Maybe.
Yeah. To this day, I can identify a Saturn game based on the way the polygons look.
Much.
There's just a rounded, uneasy, like, it just looks creepy. Like, Shining Force 3, looking at it, it's just, that's a Saturn game.
Somebody was saying that the Saturn had all the capabilities of PlayStation. I'm like...
No, it didn't.
Dude, seriously, I was very protective of the Saturn. It did not. It was very, very underpowered.
And that's the beginning of, like, true fanboyism, where you're arguing that things... Like, with the way the dig comments were about... The Genesis was not an inferior... Yes, it is. You do not know what the word inferior means if you're arguing that. That's literally
not
saying...
it a bad system.
That's literally like saying all black and white TV shows are shit because they're not color. It's like, no, they're just... Yes, they lack color.
They were just recorded on inferior equipment.
Michael Raparez in the pod.
Shut up.
Where did he come from?
Do you sleep
under the table?
He's off.
I do.
Troll duty.
Troll duty.
Don't step in it. Wow, you touched your chest from laughing at that.
I don't even understand what that means.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, my word. Oh.
Lordy, lordy.
Elston's arrival.
Is it just me or is number four Tetris?
Number four Tetris.
Brilliantly moved on. Go into this, Shane. I'm not sure if I understand your rationale, but I do.
What?
So basically nothing is your point.
I don't know. The NES version is inferior to the Game Boy version.
There was two versions on the NES. There is that first version by Tengen, whatever. The division by Atari. That had a two-player mode. Mm-hmm. And then that was pulled immediately from shelves because of a lawsuit.
I returned it. Jesus.
Yeah. So seriously. Nintendo scrambled and they made their version, which was all one player. Meanwhile, the Game Boy came out, and that is inferior in tech to the NES. The Game Boy had a two-player, co-op or competitive mode with the link up.
Quadracome.
Yeah. And so that everyone that helped contribute to the success of the Game Boy, and it was a better version than the NES version.
I suppose. I still think the NES one's a pretty decent version of Tetris, but I have sunk a lot of time into it.
Best ports on inferior systems. Fanboys.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Reiterate your next entry.
I noticed we didn't draw. Not that it needed to be on the list, but another one that was considered was Quantum of Solace for PS2.
Yeah, and we only have Hammer and Henry Gilbert to go on. But
it's like a Marvel Comics byline. Hammer and Henry Gilbert.
Hammer and Hank Gilbert. But he was unlucky enough to review the PS2 version. But I say that, but it's like it's better. It's better.
Yeah.
Than the first person. It's a third person game that they wouldn't release a single screenshot of. We couldn't post a review because they wouldn't give us any.
Yeah.
And that happens, but generally not with a Bond game. They don't seek an entirely different Bond game.
And then Michael would probably argue for Force Unleashed being superior on PS2, PSP.
That's true. And as I've said before, that's mainly because the PS2, PSP version was more focused on just making a fun game with the hardware that was available to them, and the PS3/360 version just kind of tripped over, like, wow, look at all this stuff we can do. We can make a really huge, ornate
level.
Don't
break it, it's fragile.
We can make a really huge, ornate level that nobody will actually want to play through after the 20th time they've died.
A large level was just a garbage dump. Calm down on that prettiness.
The thing is, like, for me, that garbage dump is like the absolute low point of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it gets better after that, but that is such a just torture.
Yeah. By Force Unleashed, it's one of my biggest disappointments of last year. Did you two not get down on that shiznit?
I still haven't played it.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. Maybe there'll be a patch and all of a sudden make it a good game. Anyway.
Stop caring about Star Wars. Like, are we over Star Wars?
I saw your article. I'm over Star Wars. I've been over Star Wars for a long time. But it's too much fun to hate it now and get mad about things.
That's true. I do love watching the holiday special, mainly just to show other people.
Look, it's
B. Arthur singing. Come on, you guys haven't seen this?
I guarantee at the time, with one movie, this was canon. Shut your mouth. Oh, yeah, fine. This one angered a bunch of people.
Yeah, number three. The orange box is better in the 360 than it is on the PS3. Wow, so I only said that the 360 was inferior, basically just in terms of pure hardware, what's under the hood. Just pure processing power and the storage medium that the game is placed on. Can you guys calm down? Have you seen, like, a spec Tale of the Tape side-by-side comparison to 360 and PS3?
Yeah, it was a big controversy for a long time. There was so many crashes and the horrendous load times on the PS3.
Yeah, that's what the Orange Box version was on the PS3. It just was not a good port. And they patched it, but, going through some forums, apparently the patch didn't fix everything. People still have problems with the games. I mean, they're not game-breaking, and if you have the PS3, that shouldn't, games crash all the time, like 360 or PS3, that shouldn't, like, deter you from buying it, but just be warned, it's been reported more on that than it has on the 360 version.
But I think I commented on that on Dig for the 100 games articles. Every one of his complaints about the placement of the games, like, oh, wait a minute, you own a PS3. You're mad about Final Fantasy Killzone. You're mad about the comment about PS3 and 360 Orange Box. And I said I was very defensive of my Saturn. I understand if you paid $600 for that fucking console out of the box, you have a right to be protective of it. And I appreciate that. Just when you hurt my feelings, and more important, Shane's feelings.
My feelings?
Yes.
Why don't they just shut up and go back to playing Home? Like, there's your killer app.
What gets me is, and this is a larger problem, I feel, as people who survived the 16-bit Vietnam that we went through.
Mm-hmm. Never forget.
Never. Never. Back then, you... Here we go with Brett Elston Remembers.
Go ahead.
Which has never had a sound effect.
Is that the brown note? What the fuck?
That's my ICQ unwanted incoming message sound.
All right, you want another
current affair?
But what? Yeah, current affair as well. Back then, like when you had, there were only two systems to fight. There were SNES, Genesis, and you knew specifications like this. Like seeing, watching people get mad about us calling the 360 inferior compared to PS3 on a technical level. The fact people even get angry about that just shows a pretty profound level of ignorance. And again, you need to know what ignorant means. It means you do not know. It does not mean you are stupid. Because I say this because back then, as a huge Super Nintendo follower, I knew the palette was 32,000 colors. I knew it could display like 500 or 256 colors on a screen at one time. I knew that the Genesis, comparably, had a palette of only 500 colors.
52 colors on screen at one time, I believe.
I thought it was 64, but whatever.
I used that a lot in conversation.
The point is, we knew this shit and could just throw it back and forth at each other, and I was 11 and knew this stuff. And then now watching people argue about, how could you say the 360? Well, because the spec sheet they released in 2005 clearly shows that it is technically inferior.
It should be
if you're going to argue something, if you're going to be a fanboy, be a fanboy. Like, really know it. Don't just
understand.
Say,
like, yeah. I was always comfortable with that as a
yeah.
Not going to fly anymore. You know the hard facts.
Yeah,
I'm a Nintendo guy. Posting on the internet. Read it.
You have Sonic. That hurts me every day. I understand that. I'm a Nintendo guy. I'm going to stick by this. And just what I compared that to is, what do you call it? The Spartans versus the Persians.
Yeah, I saw that documentary.
The Genesis is the Spartans. Underpowered, outnumbered. Undermanned
and still ultimately lost,
but still worth rooting for. So I'm not saying like the Genesis.
Yeah.
You're not wrong as a 360 fanboy, and you're not wrong as a Genesis fanboy.
No, you're
the
not.
PS3 and the SNES are overpowered, and they have a lot of shit behind them. So it's okay to take a side and be okay with that. Just don't. I guess I'm just worried about us right now. The 12 of us in that office should not be made to feel like we did this week. But my PS3 owners.
It's just, yeah, if you're going to identify with something, just please know it. Like, know it forward and backwards. That's the biggest tool you can ever have, is to know what you're talking about.
I wish I had the Dig comment.
Or you do.
It really was like, what? Why isn't Killzone higher on the list, and Final Fantasy's dead to me ever since it's going to 360? I'm like, all your complaints about list placement are involved in your own bias. You have to see this. Yeah. You didn't mention White Knight Chronicles? No. It's not in the top 10.
It's on there. Yeah,
so
somewhere.
So we at number one now?
Two.
Number two.
I'll go through two really quickly. Spider-Man Web of Shadows. Better on the DS than everything else, like the Wii, PS2, PS3, 360. This is based on the fact that... this is based that the on average, the Metacritic reviews are just higher on for the DS version than they are for everything else. The DS went in a different direction, like the PSP. Version of the game. The DS just was like, hey, let's make a Metroid Castlevania-esque gameplay where you grab power-ups and unlock more parts of this world. And everyone reviewed it said, yeah, this is really cool, this action-adventure-type RPG, whatever. I don't know what whoever made the game, Activision, are they still handling this license? I don't know what their deal is on the current and next-gen systems. They just, keep running Spider-Man in the ground. Or, actually, I heard it was pretty good this time.
This is a much better Spider-Man than they've ever... Activision made in a long time.
I've been playing it on 360, and it's been pretty good so far.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I don't know if it gets. I could take back my state. Sustain it for like an entire. I like play it all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love Spider-Man, and any even a cursory glance at my desk will reveal how much that fandom goes. I don't think I've finished any Spider-Man game except like of the modern generation, except for Ultimate Spider-Man on Xbox. Because even the movie Spider-Man 2, which was good, all I did was dick around in that city. I just wanted to collect tokens and look at the city, and then every time I tried to play the game, I was like, this is really bad. And then Spider-Man 3 was even worse, but Web of Shadows, I have it on DS, and I really want to play it. I just didn't get a chance over the break.
I think most of what I was reading in the reviews for Web of Shadows is like, yeah, we've been doing this for the last few games of Spider-Man. Like, and I mean, I don't know where else you can take that franchise besides putting it in another
RPG. I would only say it, like, the last couple Activision next-gen Spider-Man games were just, you're just a red ninja, a red floating ninja. Yeah, I don't feel like Spider-Man. I feel like Spider-Man the next-gen one. The camera angles are really, really goddamn cool.
Yeah, and I have to say the fights after you've been playing the game for a while, especially like the aerial ones, they're just completely insane. Like, you know, Spider-Man just like starts coming at enemies like from every direction, and it's really fast. It's really fun to watch. So
before, you're static and just in the middle of the screen. In this one, the camera changes angles. You're in the foreground, zip back,
and they dialed down the stupid interactive scenes quite a bit, which helps immensely. They're still there, but they not so much.
When I saw the preview, they were like kind of embarrassed of them, like talking about them like they were.
Were you
like,
there at that event?
They were like
the
college dropout brother. Like, you know, they're kind of in there, but, you know, they mean well.
And they're going to amount to something.
Yeah.
The first event for Spider-Man 3, they had in this club, and we're all standing there like, oh, God. But the music is really loud, and they're like, Spider-Man 3 is bringing the movie to you like never before, and these interactive, you thought God of War was cool. Well, wait, and everyone's just like, can you just open the bar up so we can drink? This is really bad.
Oh, the black suit, the rage, the power of rage in the black suit.
Grr.
Anger.
The fact they kept calling it black suit to me was pissing me off. That's why, like, sir, it's a symbiote suit. It is not a black. Anyway,
no, it's a sign that he's gone all goth and angry.
Yes. And before we move on.
He got his pocket protector caught in his retainer, tripped over himself.
Sir. Right before we move on from this, because I'm sure we're done talking about Spider-Man, the image here of Spider-Man riding Rhino like a surfboard. all I can think of when I look at this is, like, ride three rhinos to break the spirit barrier. Because there's clearly a blue line you're not meant to cross until something happens, and it just reeks of guide Rhino into a dumpster three times, and the magical barrier will break.
That screenshot, it could have been Kazooie, and you would have had me.
Yeah, I want to kick everyone, every developer in the in the nuts.
Perfect.
You'll probably be using that for an ad at some point. I want to kick every developer in the nuts. No, only people who do this, who make a spirit barrier or cloak of this daggers that you can't cross until 37 have been destroyed.
37?
I haven't played to this point in the game. If I were to extrapolate just from the screenshot, I'd say it's probably one of those things where, like, you have to ride Rhino and force him directly into that energy shield, which will somehow break it, even though it's made out of energy.
It will show up.
Paris, you're a genius.
I know!
You should make games.
I should.
On to number one, so we can get over this.
Number one, give us a thing.
Number one.
Number one, Samba de Amigo for the Dreamcast is better than on the Wii.
And they fucked that one up.
The sound effects, Chris.
Wow. What? So, what, 7, 8 years ago, Samba de Amigo came out in the arcades and on the Dreamcast, packaged with their own Maraca peripherals, and they worked. When you moved them in tandem, the game worked.
If you could afford them, they were amazing.
Yeah,
I had friends who worked at EB who stole them, so I played it there.
So readers, get this. A couple years ago, Nintendo releases a system called the Wii. Promising movement-based gameplay with this Wiimote. Turns out, with Samba de Amigo, it doesn't register all the movements correctly on medium to higher levels. That sucks. What the fuck? This game came out 8 years ago. And
Sega had better motion control in 2000 than Nintendo has.
And I'll only say, because I believe it was two versions of Samba de Amigo put together that have existed for almost a decade.
Yeah.
And nothing, literally nothing more.
Yeah. With a set list.
The same set list. So which Cup is of Life by Ricky Martin. I know that's nice and timely.
Yeah.
Ole ole.
Hang on. The downloadable songs that just came out. Rockefeller Skank from Fatboy Slim.
Hey!
Mickey.
Nice. Tell me Real Big Fish is on there.
And Walking on Sunshine.
Wow!
It's just like, oh my god. Really?
Okay.
Cool.
And that was the top seven.
Also, there's apparently a song called Jerk It Out.
Gotta jerk it out. All right.
Hey!
Hey, we've been going through a little bit of difficulties. A bunch of us contributed to Killzone 2. We're trying to figure out ways to write more interesting previews. We thought we'll write one jokey based on all the games we played. This one's better than the other one.
Well, it's jokey and it's also serious.
No, it feels like it's like a debate class a lot of times. Even when I disagreed with you. What?
Name the article.
Ah, yes.
Killzone 2 versus the best, biggest guns of 2008?
Versus 2008's best shooters.
Best shooters.
Yeah.
Where we pit Killzone 2 against Gears, Resistance, and Call of Duty World at War.
I thought about including Left 4 Dead, but I mean, it's really a different kind of game. It's
indeed. And
it wouldn't fit the category by category comparison.
Ooh, so if you like Left 4 Dead, stay tuned for the next segment. We got something for that ass. But I thought it was like an exercise in debate class where you're like, well, you played all of Call of Duty, like, do that for me. Well, Call of Duty clearly doesn't best this in visuals, but we can figure out ways to make Call of Duty more appealing in a visual argument.
Yeah, well, really, it's just the concept behind it was kind of like, you know, you can say Killzone's a great game in a vacuum, but what really matters to a lot of people is, you know, well, how good is it in relation to game B that I liked? I mean, is it better than? Is it worse than? And so it kind of strove to answer that question. Probably it didn't at all, because you could argue that the two arguments just kind of rule each other out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I took it the point is that, yes, the arguments do cancel each other out, and at the end, everybody's saying all four games involved are all good in their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're worth arguing for.
That all four are worth arguing for and are worth playing, but you also leave, if you read it and not just, as people on GAF have done,
mm-hmm.
like, briefly scan it and immediately start hating on it, because I guess they just need to hate anything that doesn't say Killzone 2 is the best game you're ever going to play.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
That you will come away with information about the game,
yes.
based solely on how Michael defends it in all these categories.
No, and Michael asks us all to play it, so we had to know what he was talking
about. And me, who has not played Call of Duty, or Resistance, or Killzone, I read the whole thing and came away. Now I feel knowledgeable about what Killzone 2 has.
You like my comment about the rail kills?
Yes.
What the hell is up with that? The guys love dying off of rails.
Yeah,
I didn't have that problem.
Watch what he'll be like 4 feet back from a rail, and he'll stumble over to it.
Oh, that's some enemies I think are just scripted to fall off of rails.
Oh, wait a second! I've got to go. Oh, here we go. Oh no!
And that's—I mean, you're talking about like when there's somebody who's shooting at you from high ground, and you shoot them, and then they fall down toward you, right?
Cute Wilhelm scream.
No, huh? Like just off the distance.
Huh?
I had a lot of rail kills. Like I thought it was.
I never saw that.
It's like Space Mutiny, the game.
Yes.
Just completely in a warehouse.
Thank you.
People falling over rails.
And I don't know why people are so... Killzone was, like, bred to beat up Halo and failed
mm-hmm.
already.
Well, that's the thing that I think a lot of people ignoring, is that Killzone 2 comes from kind of a shitty legacy. I mean, the first game was mediocre. The PSP game was great. But, I mean, it was a completely different kind of game, so there were low expectations. And up to maybe 7-8 months ago, the scuttlebutt was that it was looking pretty crappy.
It does not now. It's
a very good game. Somebody from our staff played it at E3. I didn't. They said it didn't do well, or it wasn't very good. They gave it a shitty review.
Scott liked it, though.
Scott did?
From E3, yeah.
I just don't think it's not awe-inspiring. I don't see myself running to go play multiplayer.
The thing, it's very good. It's very immersive.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's okay. It's not the best game I've ever played. It is an extremely good game. It is much better than Resistance 2. It's probably going to be the best shooter on PS3. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know. I kind of like more open games that are less linear. That's just me. But I think Killzone 2 is a great shooter.
Also, the like we said before we brought this up, that because GAF is exploding at the article,
yeah,
that NeoGAF, they're really hating on it. Because you're getting a cross-section of PS3 fans and Killzone fans and people who want this to be good.
Are there Killzone fans?
There
are tons of Killzone, especially in this PS3 thread, and or this GAF thread. And the thing is, against my better judgment, I decided to ask them why. Because they do the typical GAF thing, which is everybody links to the article and then points to it and says, "Oh my god, that's so shitty! Oh, so shitty, 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 shitty." Nobody says exactly why.
Fail.
And I asked them, and they told me. And now
but,
I
but
feel
again,
like I
their reason
about GAF.
Yeah, but their reasoning is like, well, that's still subjective.
Their reasoning is, you've reported badly on this game in the past, so all your coverage is now colored through the lens of you hate Killzone 2. And also, your site's really shitty and we hate you.
I'm just surprised they know our Killzone 2 coverage.
Yeah. The thing is,
I wasn't following our Killzone coverage until a week ago.
I wasn't either, really.
But like they keep and just to prove how silly the whole thing is, they keep bringing up how we gave Halo 3 a 10. Clearly they don't like Halo 3,
yes,
or probably Halo in general. But well, this exact same thread could exist for Halo fanboys complaining about our coverage of Halo in some capacity. Like, do they not understand that this is just being really biased towards the game you want to be good? And it is good. Like I have no interest in PS3. Like I pretty much can't stand the system, but I've watched Killzone 2 enough being played at Michael's desk. I'm probably going to play through that. It looks fun, but it doesn't look exceptional. It looks fun. Mm. Oh, that's all I got.
And I don't bias as a gamer, not as a professional web journalologist. I would like for Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo to get in one car and drive off a very high cliff and blow up in a fire explosion. I hate all of them as companies. They've all done me wrong in some fashion. I have my problems with all of them. None of us. We all own just about every platform, do we not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not ascribed to one or the other.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand, is once you reach a certain age and a certain tax bracket, it's not like a religion anymore. It's not politics. It's just pieces of plastic that plug into your fucking TV so you can play a game.
I want to say it really was before I got a job at 15 years old. After that, I've owned every console on the market.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And I never get in these arguments anymore because I get to play everything. And
yeah,
I'm talking about McDonald's and just terrible shit only to play this kind of stuff and to not get in these arguments because I wanted to see everything. Didn't want to shout something down because I couldn't play it because it wasn't on my system of choice.
Yeah, that's how it was when I was in junior high and high school. And then by the time you get a job and it's like, well, I have my own money to spend, I'll just save up and buy everything I want. You know, like, it's...
If I eat half a slice of pizza every day for a couple of weeks, bam, I got myself a PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
I mean, my reasons for waiting in there, I certainly don't want to be the next Dennis Dyack or anything like that, but it's just, I want to make it clear, I don't care that they hate us. That's fine. I mean, it's not in our interest to try to command the respect of people who aren't going to read us anyway. But, I was just curious to know why, and the answer is basically just, well, we perceive a long-standing bias on your site. And we don't like the fact that you don't do traditional games journalism.
Which is ridiculous. I want to know what you inferred from all those other previews.
It's like, Killzone 2 is going to rock your face off in February.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Halo, look out behind you in your rearview mirror. Killzone 2 is coming at you.
they want us to fall in line.
It's an audience that's used to seeing the same kind of coverage. And when we don't say, well, this is shaping up to be another game we can't wait to get our grubby mitts on in the fall of...
Look for it next month!
Really?
Check back later for the review.
I'm sorry I got tired of that kind of writing when I was 21. Yeah. Like, and I stopped reading IGN in 2002, 3 years before I ever got this job. When I was still dicking around in Toys R Us, I was already like, Okay, so basically every game is great until I review it, and then it gets a 5, and then I move on. Like, I'm just tired of that.
Yeah.
Nothing against the site. It definitely fills its purpose, but I just don't read those previews anymore.
Well, its main job is to make every game ever available right now to sound worth playing, and that's just not the case.
And I'm fine if they want to be enthusiastic, because we'll do it too. We'll write a preview. We're supposed to focus on the positive, and that's true. But after literally 10, 12 years of that kind of journalism, of just ending the same preview with the same paragraph, still, comma, when it ships in fall of 2009, like that's not writing. You're just doing what people before you did.
Yeah. We got to get going, get in a break.
Let's do that.
We get back, we're going to mention some new releases. We have some news. Brett has played an exclusive game that he can... a brand new game that he can tell you about.
Yes, and a game that's not out yet.
And a game that's not out yet. Michael and I have played two games we cannot tell you about, but we'll drop very, very small hints, like breadcrumbs all throughout the podcast.
Like
we can probably say we've seen them, we just can't say anything about them.
No.
No?
We played.
You can drop grand car-sized crumbs about them.
I played Japanville. We do that. I played Japanville Skirmish, and Michael played.
I played something with some bikers or some shit.
The Forgotten Darn.
Yeah, yeah. The Misplaced in the Darn.
We'll be back in a second.
So you played Left Behind.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. Darned all to hell. All right, this is the final round of the Games Radar Spelling Bee. Darth Vader, your word is Talk Radar.
As you wish.
Brett Elston, use it in a sentence.
I swear to God, I've never laughed so hard as I did when listening to Talk Radar 15.
T A L C.
Sorry.
Go to GamesRadar.com.
Boogie, 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 boogie.
Your Honor, the defendant was arrested without a license in a car containing 3 concealed weapons and over an ounce of marijuana.
Well, counsel, if your client insists on pleading the Fifth, I'll have no choice but to throw the book at him. How do you want to proceed? Order!
Kick, punch, we don't have much time. If you don't squeal, you're gonna serve a dime. I'm fine either way, cause I still get paid. But listen to a teacher, this'll be your next play. Now snitch!
Snitch? Rat, rat! Rat, rat!
Snitch, snitch, rat!
Snitch, snitch, rat!
Rat, rat, snitch!
Rat, rat, snitch!
Don't be a hero when you could serve zero. Or do you wanna shower with some Butch Lord Quiro?
I may be a rapper, but I can't take this rap. Wasn't driving the car, I was chilling in the back. It was King Kong Moosey with the drugs behind the wheel. If it keeps my cool safe, bet your ass I'm gonna squeal.
This is absurd. He wants to throw us off his scent.
Your Honor, I've prepared a plea agreement.
It can't be a crime just to kick a dope rhyme.
Good point, Talking Dog. Since your plea was served time.
Yeah, you gotta believe.
You f***ed up now, Parappa.
Welcome back. Thank you, Shane Patterson. We're in. We couldn't go on with another podcast without a visit from Mr. Oh, I cut out Mr. Scream. Shit.
I asked for Mr. Scream specifically.
No, I told you about the issues. Hold on. Give me 4 seconds. Very good. Yes, we are traditional DJs. You know what? That is my fart button, and I hate to make this seem less juvenile and unprofessional than it already is. But I had to get another fart.
Yes!
I don't think we're traditional DJs until we, you know, get a guy in here who just does a real character that's really loud and obnoxious and oh fuck.
These chicks are gonna get naked and drink milk until they vomit.
Hey, we've got a list of top 10 fart jokes coming up from Duke Lombardi. I sound more like the movie phone guy than an actual DJ.
Oh my God. New releases.
All right. New releases.
Engage.
God damn it.
That's a new one, too. Yeah, but in all seriousness, new releases. Yes. New releases. So what if the Wii only gets Deal or No Deal, the game?
Oh, wow. I have an answer. No deal.
There isn't.
Yeah. That was Brett Elston, everybody.
Hey,
I'll be at Comics Comedy Club all weekend.
Oyo, Deal or No Deal and Neighborhood Game. Deal or No Deal. I remember that show came out. They released a free Flash game. Here's the entire game show. Yeah. It's picking a suitcase. But it heads up this weekend. But so
what?
You
can point at the suitcase now.
You get... We owners can pick up... Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse.
Ooh, man. One of the best Castlevanias.
I think I've had to separate them. Because I really love 4 and yes. 1, but they're not Castlevania anymore.
Well, they're
all not what I consider Castlevania anymore.
They're all Symphony of the Night. You consider that Castlevania, don't you?
I consider that the departure, like where the Castlevania...
The game's 12 years old. I think you can count it as Castlevania now.
No, but I don't know. But it's weird to have 3 different formats for the same genre
referred
to as classic.
Well, it's evolving. It's a series. Yeah. It definitely needs another evolution now that the Metroidvania style is, you know, I love it, but it's...
I never get tired of it.
There are 7 games like that now. It's time to do something...
Never get tired
like
of
Judgment.
It. But for five bucks...
Stay corrected. Stick with the Metroidvania.
Whatever they're charging for Deal or No Deal Neighborhood games, it's probably too much. $5 will get you Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse, Mirror's Edge on the PC, and this one... Which EA it snuck upon us. Lord of the Rings Conquest. Has anybody seen this game?
I've seen the box art and thought.
I wrote about it.
What?
I said it kind of snuck up on everybody.
Oh, we say that like it wasn't intentional on EA's part.
Yeah. They showed it a couple of times, like supposedly as it was at this thing that Tyler Nagata and I went to over the summer, but like we couldn't find it anywhere.
In a dark room, in the back of the women's bathroom.
It was maybe behind closed doors when they weren't saying anything about it.
You want to see a Gandalf?
Hey, kid got some Legolas here.
You're good, man.
Die the second it steps in water.
Before I move on from Castlevania 3, mainly because I want to play as much Castlevania 3 music under this as we can.
Well, I'm not playing Lord of the Rings music. Oh, yes.
Good. Castlevania 3, if you didn't know, as my opinion, has one of the best NES soundtracks, even one of the best general video game soundtracks ever, like, ever.
Brett Elston.
Just a completely badass collection of songs in that game. But the Japanese version, which is probably not the one on the Virtual Console, or the one we played, had a special chip inside of it that enhanced the game's music and the graphics. It added additional sound channels, and when they put it out in the U.S., the U.S. NES could not support it, so the version we got had slightly shittier music, but ultimately not too different, and the graphics were affected, like there were less animations and less visual effects. That's all.
All good, I'm playing the Japanese music.
You can play whichever, they're both good.
But I did want to go into Lord of the Rings Conquest because there were only a couple reviews up via Metacritic.
Oh, good.
And the best I could infer is like it's pretty much EA extending their license.
Yeah.
And it was them trying to pull like possibly a Star Wars Battlefront kind of situation with arrows and swords.
It's in our top 100 most anticipated. So you know.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the difference in what we were talking about, and I don't mean to dogpile on IGN in any way. Them and Official Xbox Magazine are 2 out of the 3 people ever review up. IGN says, and we always hate this, what do we hate said at the last sentence of your...
For fans of the genre.
Fans of the genre.
Without having read it, mind you.
Exactly. Diehard fans of both online class-based games and The Lord of the Rings might want to invest $60. Really? But if redundant and unimaginative gameplay are things you despise, you'll want to steer clear. Like, who doesn't want to steer clear of that.
Well, you know, I read the first part and been like, that's me. And then the second part, I go, well, I don't mind shitty gameplay. And I have to pay $60 for this.
And they gave it a 7, and OXM gave it a 4.
Wow.
A 4, and this is, and I really appreciate their lines. It was by Ben Talbot.
Yeah.
The OXM review said, it'd be too easy to say that Conquest will appeal only to diehard Tolkien fans. Diehard and both. In fact, they're the ones most likely to hate it.
I think that's fucking true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I do want to take this chance to plug our own Dan Amrick's podcast. We never plug KOXM.
KOXM. Official Xbox Magazine's podcast. And I know it might sound very, you know, incestuous for us to go, well, OXM's review was much better, but if they gave that shit the 7 and IGN, if those situations were reversed, we would
This is all I had to go on, by the way.
I know, I'm just saying, like, we're not playing favorites here. If those scores were reversed, we would say, holy crap, IGN was right, OXM was wrong, what a shakeup. Like, we're not, it just sounds like we're dogpiling and then patting ourselves on the back.
It did, didn't it? Dan's been plugging us a lot, and we never say, hey, go give KOXM a listen. It's much more professional.
I'm just saying we're not a bunch of shills. We're not a bunch of goddamn shills to an excessive amount.
I don't mind saying that our friends are in the other room plugging us, and we're throwing.
No, I'm not talking about Link. I'm not talking about plugging their podcast. I'm talking about us saying IGN's review sucks. Our review was, OXM's review was great. By the way, go to OXM. Like, you know what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to be fired at the end of the month anyway. This is all going to go.
I'm saying we make fun of our own site. We're not above making fun of our magazine.
So while we can, we're seeing games. And Brett has seen one of my most anticipated DS games.
Oh, well, it's out now. It came out this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Moon for DS. We talked about it in a podcast a while ago, like last June. So probably like the 5th or 6th podcast. Oh. I know. That's like 30 years ago. Or 33 weeks ago, whatever.
I just love Dominium. The guys made Dominium.
It's published by Mastiff, which is kind of small, so you may not even know what it is. Michael apparently had never heard of Moon.
No, not before today.
So weird. It's a sci-fi first-person shooter for DS. It's fully 3D, polygons, and it runs very smooth. Uses the DS Rumble Pack, which I had to go...
Ow.
There's a DS Rumble Pack? Which I had to go dig up because it came with Metroid Prime Pinball, which I went through all of my DS games trying to find it, and it was in none of the cases. And then I realized, oh wait, no game has used it since Metroid Prime Pinball in 2005, so it was in my DS FAT, which is in a box in a closet. So I had to go dig it out. I've only played the first level. I'm trying to write a review for it, so I can't really say definitively how I feel. So far, I like the gameplay. But the voice acting sounds like early PS1. Commander, there's something on our radar. What is it? I don't know. You'd better check it out. All right. But it's good production values. It's the kind of game that, I mean, Renegade Kid, the developer, they are trying.
I'm really big fans of theirs, man.
Yeah, and they care. Like, I talked to them today, actually. They came in inexplicably for a preview appointment the day after the game came out. I was kind of confused about that, considering I'd already played.
Yeah, Nintendo Power is in the other building. Come on.
Yeah. I thought that was very strange. But they were talking about just how they are genuine fans. They've been working on games since, like, any N64 Turok, so that's 96. Yeah. Just wanted to push the DS, and they were talking about how they thought, oh, Dominium is the limit. Like, that's all we can do. And then they just started throwing more polygons at the DS, and it could handle them. And they're like, why the hell isn't anybody doing this?
I wish I could talk about Chinatown Wars.
alas.
Damn you, Rockstar.
I saw Chinatown Wars and cannot talk about it till a couple weeks from now.
But similar circumstances. And I love that, because the DS is a much more powerful platform than the cake simulators would have you believe.
Yes, it's. I'm trying to get to that in my review. Like, I hope to write a pretty interesting review. I'll see what I can do with it. But the game did crash on me already, so I don't know if that's indicative of... I'm sure it's not widespread.
I'm a huge fan, and I'm recommending it, not having played it, but loving Dementium as much as I did. And the valiant act of an independent studio trying.
They are trying harder than the big publishers are, by far.
And it shows, and it's fun, and the mini was so much fun.
Yes, it's just like, if you own a DS, just buy it out of solidarity, please.
Yes.
But one of the things I was talking about was, you know, you have this 3D engine that works really well for Moon. People are interested in licensing it, but they're not really keen on getting into the licensing issue because that's a whole... They're too small to deal with supporting the engine and all that stuff. But then I asked, like, your two games are original IPs, Dementium, Moon. Are you interested in the idea of taking a third... taking a license if somebody said, hey, you know, Moon kind of reminds us of Mass Effect a little.
Does it seem like they cranked out Moon in
about 10 months, 12 months, I think. And they wanted, and I said, well, you know, if somebody, what's the license you would like to try on DS and just to prove DS is more than what people think it is? And they said Bioshock, that they would love to try to take a Bioshock experience and distill it into the DS and still have it work, which, seeing what they did with Dementium and seeing what they did with the Moon, if you kind of mix those, you still don't get Bioshock, but you get, like, the idea.
They could probably do System Shock, too, on the DS.
They could do System Shock. Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
I think they're barking up the right tree. They just announced Ken Levine's one-off game is going to be spread over into six games. One of them may as well be on DS.
Wait, did they announce that?
Something like that. Six games planned for Bioshock.
Well, no, it was more like, oh, yeah, you could definitely turn Bioshock into, like, five or six games. We would love to do that.
Really?
It wasn't, like, confirmed Bioshock 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, that's all I've got for Moon. Just that they're trying, Renegade Kid is pushing an envelope that no one even seems to know is in the mailbox.
Oh!
Hey!
I got a writer in the house.
Oh!
Damn. You've been Elston.
Well stoned.
Well stoned.
All right, I think that's the only games that came out this week, right?
No, that we're gonna fucking mention. Everything else can eat its own dick. but we can go into some hard hitting news.
That's number five.
I already need a new sound effect. and anyway, in other news, there we go. Now we're back to Talk Radar.
I had a piece of news.
Did you? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sweetie.
Neversoft is gone from Tony Hawk!
Really?
Yeah!
Oh.
I don't even know if I'm excited about that. I never had a particular problem with a job Neversoft did, but the annual release schedules.
Yeah. Well, that's
ridiculous.
More Activision than Neversoft.
Exactly. And, like, I don't...
I would be delighted if you had said, Neversoft is going to be working on original games!
Yeah.
Oh, that's not actually happening.
First Tony Hawk, awesome. First Spider-Man game Neversoft did, awesome. Gun, awesome.
Awesome! Gun is great. Fuck, that is depressing. No, you guys are going to go work on the Guitar Hero, but seriously, Guitar Hero. We made like $1 billion last week.
So are they putting someone new on the franchise, or is it just going
it's,
away?
It's rumored at the point. People who have dealt with the ports...
Shaba and Treyarch.
Not
and
Shaba.
What it says in the news story is the top suspect is indie shop Robomodo, founded last year by refugees from the closures of EA Chicago and Studio Gigante.
Gigante.
That's not confirmed. And this story is off of GameSpot, who does have very good news.
I didn't know if that was sarcastic, but whatever.
No, I definitely do read GameSpot's news. I don't read the reviews.
The same. Hey, I love Chris Waters' reviews.
You're right.
Chris Waters loves Chris Waters.
That's true. I wish he came around more often. But yeah, they say I'm just glad they need new ideas, and they acknowledge it or were kicked off, whatever the case may be.
It's remember that stuff we talked about with Sonic Team.
Yes.
I don't want to see that happen in Neversoft with this relentless Guitar Hero schedule.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the fact is now Neversoft is going to focus on Guitar Hero is the quote. It's like, so basically you're going to further run that into the ground until 3 years from now you're off Guitar Hero. Like, and it's hard to tell. Is it Activision or Neversoft? It's one or the other.
It's Activision. I'm only saying just because... Every Tony Hawk game came with, like, behind the scenes at Neversoft, and they don't seem like the type of people who would commit.
Well, they didn't the first 3-4 games, but I mean, after that, when they're millionaires, what do you do?
I don't know. I just love Neversoft means a lot to me, and I don't really like the way Guitar Hero's going, and I hate to see them. I didn't see them die with that franchise, which Activision seems completely content to drive it into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I wish well for Neversoft and death and famine to Activision.
Yeah.
Or you know, God forbid, give me a reason to care, Activision. Give me something that I go, good show, Activision.
But you know what?
Yes?
You don't need sequels.
I don't.
No! Because certain games can be modified.
You're true, you're right.
In ways we call mods.
Mods.
So, Left 4 Dead. Hope maybe it only has 5 levels. People out there can mod it to do whatever they want. This is my favorite new Left 4 Dead mod.
Let me tell you something right now. Control rooms, nothing.
Yeah.
The greatest. Yeah. Oh no.
Yes, the Macho Man Randy Savage Left 4 Dead mod.
So, oh, it's the Bone Swa mod.
It is the Bone Swa mode, the official. It's endorsed. But whatever. I just have to play my last clip of it because, oh god, it's when they assign Macho Man Randy Savage sound clips for every zombie that comes at you. As you know, how many undead end up running at you in Left 4 Dead? Probably
dozens.
Somewhere between a billion. That's probably selling it light. Here's what it sounds like.
It just sounds like a man killing him over and over again.
Which Shane, as a complete and utter asshole, sent me because he knew this would ruin a good portion of my day.
Yes.
The Macho Man Randy Savage soundboard.
Yeah. Because I'm wild, yeah. 1,000,000%.
Bonesaw.
And yeah, in case you didn't know what we were talking about, Bonesaw.
Bonesaw is Randy!
Michael, would you like to hear Randy Savage say anything?
Ooh,
of course.
Yeah!
This is my favorite one. I don't even know what's happening.
I think he's vomiting.
That sounds like someone doubled over a toilet today.
I think he's having contractions.
I think he's onto something. I love this soundboard. And just rules to live by, aphorisms out the ass.
What it is what it is.
Thank you, mister. Yeah, we have.
Ooh, yeah!
God, it must hurt to talk like that, man.
Oh, no! You're mine!
God!
Didn't need him then?
Alright, I have to try and squeeze in one. Who is Elizabeth, Shane?
Yeah, he used to be his wife and then was like his valet. Found dead at Lex Luger's home a few years ago.
I did not mean to play that over the, what, Elizabeth is dead?
Yeah, she was found dead at former wrestler Lex Luger's home.
The greatest!
Alright, enough of that shit. I swear to God I'm going to use that sparingly through the rest of the podcast.
Like the current affair sound effect?
Because it's mind-boggling to you, yeah!
Alright.
He's doing a magic trick.
You don't know how that quarter got behind your ear, do you?
Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Is he fucking him? Rubbing his hands on...
So simple and soft! I'll put myself way up inside him. Oh, yeah!
I want to put a cloud of never coming down!
You're a punk! Yeah, you are.
So, what about video games?
Oh, video
never
games.
Heard of
without Randy Savage.
Yes, one more thing of news. Also from GameSpot, a congressman in California, Joe Baca, which... Now that I say it out loud, oh my god. Joe Baca, wow. He wants a warning on video games that says, warning, excessive exposure to violent video games and other violent media has been linked to aggressive behavior. And he wants that on every game rated T or higher.
Has been aggressive behavior. Yeah. But he doesn't want it on the sales of toy guns or possibly the fucking soft drink
or soft drink exclusivities
they assign in middle schools.
Or booze or movies or music or anything he grew up with and understands, basically.
It is. I hope if we get anything across the young audience, this is just a stupid, stupid measure for a politician to feel relevant while getting his name in the news while actually doing nothing.
Yeah, and also California's about to run out of money, and I feel this is not necessary.
Look, Christ! This is his legislation. There it is. Put it away. Put it away to bed. Here's my new segue button.
I didn't hear time to get moving in there. Time to get moving. Real quick though, the other person that's supporting the bill, also in addition to Joe Baca, is Representative Frank Wolf from Virginia. So all I hear is Virginia Wolf. Like, it's just two people that with jokes right away. Like,
I ain't afraid. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. No wonder the newspapers are embracing this. Their fucking headlines write itself. Who's afraid of Virginia, comma, Wolf?
Oh, welcome to the AP, sir.
Again. Segway button. I saw this thing on Dig claiming, if you see this logo, do not buy this game. They're not available in this country. But it's a publisher called Phoenix Games Group.
Ah, yes.
Which is a self-proclaimed on the internet browser tab, a super budget publisher.
Super budget.
A super budget publisher. Everything they have is a ripoff of a ripoff.
Yeah.
It's like,
I ran into those people like in 2004 at E3. I saw their booth, and I just stood there like with my jaw on the floor. It's like, how do you enter the country without getting the shit beaten out of you by customs?
But it's not like, it's sued because you pointed. Yeah. Did you point it out in one of your articles about they publish a game called Iron Chef?
They do. Well, I didn't actually point that out in an article, but they do, and they also publish Lion and the King 2. Mighty Mulan, Dalmatians
3
with a dead ringer for Cruella De Vil on the box.
Yeah,
and yeah, apparently what most of it is there's like a really crappy cartoon that takes Disney character lookalikes and it throws that together with like some puzzle games and things like that. But if you kind of, it's like their whole little universe just sort of folded in on itself. I mean, they have several games that just like have a bunch of box art recycled from other games on the box.
No, I cannot believe Disney has not gone after them yet. You don't know the half of it. What I gathered clips of was, this is from Phoenix Games' Peter Pan. Mm-hmm. And this is the opening of their Peter Pan game, which they also leave a menu up for. This just made me laugh to no end.
I would like to tell you the most beautiful story of my childhood. The Adventures of Peter Pan.
Back to menu, 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 back to menu.
What's funny is when I go to phoenixgamesonline.com, it says, it is?
Yeah, Phoenix Games Group. But the voice acting, we've laughed at voice acting in the past. I think they hired like a non-existent Adam Sandler character from the ether to do all of their voice acting. This is, we know Peter Pan, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is Mr. and Mrs. Darling, two people, male and female, having a conversation.
You know, I'm really glad we're going to the ball. I've heard that the famous scientist had also been invited. Yes, that's what they say.
What?
You know what's happened with my tie.
Yes.
I'm guessing the deeper one, the deeper voice was the wife's.
There's with the scene that's showing, it's only a silhouette, so I have no idea. And the thing is that they have like horse clopping sound effects and all this other stuff, and I can't tell. But the box art for this next game, Animal Soccer World, is clearly the lion from Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and they should have been taken a task over. These are three characters. One represents a giant, tall, bipedal Heckle and Jekyll, one looks exactly like Simba, and one looks like Copper from Fox and the Hound.
Wow.
Three characters, all ripoffs. Let's do this.
But where is the ambulance and the police? And I don't hear any sirens also.
You are right. You can't hear them. I'm just practicing in case something really happens.
But what is supposed to happen?
Something that even scares the dog.
Excuse me?
What is going on?
What country are they from again?
I have no idea. This one guy.
They're based in Holland.
We're not from here.
I am not from this place.
I can only imagine that has something to do with the fact that they haven't been sued yet. To oblivion.
That's probably a good point. Because
there must be like some law is really tricky. Yeah.
Did I mention what game that was from?
What's it called?
Animal Soccer World.
Is this the company at E3, a couple, like 05 or 04, I saw a game called Elsewhere that was very clearly a Zelda ripoff. It was a guy in a green tunic with a sword, and it was called Elsewhere.
That sounds remarkably complicated for something.
For
they
them. Because what you may remember them from are Krabby Adventure, Car Wash Tycoon, and in total honesty about the Wii game, Kitty's Party Pack. 25 games in parentheses, even on their official website.
I'm looking at their website.
Hold on, my favorite, it's exactly what it promises, white van racer.
Yes.
It's a white van that races.
That is abduction racing.
It is. You know exactly what you're getting into there. So what if it's Sega CD era graphics on your Wii?
The games I liked for PC are Alien Bugs. Which is what? That you started to make a name.
They don't deserve the boss bit.
And then my favorite is a game called Drop and Blow.
Oh God! If you care to hear it, Disney, please alert your attorneys. Countryside Bears. Countryside Bears. It's a musical jamboree and mixed with horrible animation. Let's hear a little bit of the song.
See you later, Rabu. Shuffling out the door, I am the Rabu. I come from here and there and what to do.
I hate it.
Right now I feel like a gaff reader reading one of our articles.
I really became obsessed with it. I hope we can embed the video somewhere. Whatever. I hope.
There's a game called Girl Zone, and then right next to it, and right next to it is Furry Tales.
It's where I'm legally obligated to stay out of.
Oh my God, Dragon!
I see, and I find no better time than to go on a break when I bomb.
Yes, let's go. When we come back,
we're gonna.
I have community segment.
We have community stuff. We actually have some game deals because people ask that we do that again.
Yeah.
And
got a question of the week and reactions to last week's question of the week. What's the sickest you've been and still dragged yourself to the game to finish, even though you're vomiting your balls?
Go into the forums and see, because we also transcribed the Street Fighter rap.
Yes, we did. Well, I didn't.
The original lyrics. No, my old pal MB did. Oh, it was nice to see him in there. You know what, Michael? You take it out. Go ahead. Get your anger out.
Oh, we know Talk Radar's awesome.
Why does everyone hate Battle Network? Because I do.
Saints Row 2 lets you totally shoot piss out of a car.
If you're listening and you were born in 1997, that is bad and we hate you.
And to top off, Michael Cinnamon.
But we try not to get a big head about it.
I am the third revelation! I am the third revelation!
But we need your help to spread the word and keep the Carnival of Filth alive and on the air.
Would you kindly?
Do your friends at TDAR a huge favor and tell your friends about the show. Review us on iTunes.
That was totally wicked!
Hit us up on Dig. And hell, just keep listening.
Good, clean, wholesome fun.
I don't know. They pay me to do this.
I got Donkey Kong, and now I'll get you too, Junior.
I'm Donkey Kong Junior, and that's my papa.
I'm trying to save him, and boy, do I need your help.
Nintendo's Donkey Kong Jr., the arcade game, is now the Super Home video game.
Save your papa, huh? Save yourself first.
He's chasing me with snapping jaws, and I could fall.
Help Donkey Kong Jr. save his papa on your ColecoVision, Atari 2600 VCS, or Intellivision video game system.
Game players everywhere, please help me save my papa.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And so are we for the third segment.
The final segment.
The final segment of our lovely, lovely podcast. And I guess what are we hearing now? Not unfortunately. This is a guilty pleasure of mine. Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. Are you going to go my way? It's just I don't like the guy, but I mean, this song I like. I can't help it.
This song is a rock and roller of sorts.
Yeah.
No, I think he's a completely talentless musician, and I cannot stand listening to most of his music, at least as a lyricist.
Well, tell us what you really think.
See, I'm sorry. I really, really, really hate it. Dude, if I had an album that came out, you know how long I'd spend trying to name it? His second-to-last album was called Lenny. How much do you have to like yourself to fucking call? Hold on. Let me get this dictionary. Bug it! Bam! Lenny.
Name that shit my album.
You know what this album is named? Me. Sorry. Evidently, I'm alone on this. All right. Shane's getting tired. Even he's not digging the wrestling references. Fine. A giant Obama is staring at me.
If you didn't know, the official presidential picture of Obama has been released, and it is the highest res image of all time.
It's also my desktop.
Yeah.
What do you want to get into for? You want to do the game deals? You want to do the
Let's do the deals first. Deals.
Here it is.
Take my advice, do as I say. Save a little money for a rainy day.
Again, by spending money. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I said.
Engage.
So what is your favorite handheld system, sir?
Hey! Engage.
Excellent.
Sorry, I had to throw something else in there.
You have graduated to mid-afternoon DJ.
Humorless Michael Raparez over there. No, you know what? Don't let the neo-gaffers get to you.
I'm not.
All right. You're only a little biased. Yeah, only a little bias.
If it doesn't
I'll come out with it right now. Okay, I have no problems with PS3 games. The only thing I have a problem with my PS3 is that home is boring, and I hate having to update the firmware every time I don't play it for a week or two. and I have a problem with the fact that it's twice as much as the leading system. While aside from the Blu-ray player not really appearing to offer much over their competition,
it is a strangely devoid offering. Like when 360, I mean, I was a huge PS2 fan, but PS3 kind of dropped it for me. I would say
I always thought this is the strongest three consoles have ever been in the marketplace.
Yeah, they're all three doing well. So yeah. It's like the first. I mean, the last three: PS2, Xbox, GameCube. GameCube still made money, but it was a distant third. Mm-hmm. Whereas right now they're all kind of. I mean, Wii is ahead by unfair. There is no justice in the world amount of numbers in between them and Xbox 360. But anyway,
game deals. It doesn't matter because whatever console you own, there's some game deals for you. Shane Patterson, what did you see at Best Buy this week? A bunch of stuff, very cheap.
This upcoming Sunday in the circulars for Best Buy. You will see, what were they? Call of Duty for 360 and PS3 for $50. Right. I think it's been lingering at 50 for like the last month or so.
That's right. No bias here. We're in the marketplace.
Yep. Far Cry 2, $30 for both systems.
That's a huge drop.
Yeah.
Man, it really is. Just dropping 50%. All their games.
Yeah.
So weird.
That's what Ubi's known for. And here we go. Prince of Persia, $40.
That is true. Ubisoft is...
Yeah,
drops the games in price very quickly.
Was it
02 or 04 that had, like, they just shoved all this stuff out at once.
Yeah.
Prince of Persia. And it's like that all over again. They just, like, front-loaded their holiday season and competed with themselves, and now everything's going through the price drop.
Brothers in Arms went for, like, $17 at Christmas.
Yes, they put out Brothers in Arms, End War, Prince of Persia, what we just said.
Far Cry 2.
It's like, you guys really got to spread your shit out.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah. The whole rest of the year, pet shampoo simulators.
Yeah. Thank you, Ubi, for giving me pets games all year, and then saving your five games I give at least a millimeter of liquid shit about for the last 9 weeks of the year.
It's like, and Ubisoft, or rather EA, might release the same volume of games, but not all of those are going to be AAA titles.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, they didn't release Dead Space, Mirror's Edge, and all their other shit in the same month.
Far Cry 2, a great game. Prince of Persia, a really great game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sean White, not worth your time.
Oh, and Sean White came out as well, yeah.
But that has Target Mountain.
Yeah, you know what?
My favorite. You are biased against Target, Shane.
Oh, I love Target.
Oh. You have to give Target a 10 out of 10.
Oh man.
Number
1 out of 10. Holy fuck. Chew on that, Gaff.
Game deals.
Time to get moving.
Time to get moving.
Familyvideo.com, the site I can't vouch for, but I have heard they...
Family good, Video?
Familyvideo.com.
That's a video chain where I'm from.
Maybe. The site looks really rinky-dink, kind of reeks of 1998. But they sell used games, and they have Guitar Hero World Tour, Mirror's Edge, and Spider-Man Web of Shadows for $29.99. Not bad.
Is it familyvideo.com?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's probably the rental chain. Looks like it, yeah. It's definitely in Illinois. I'm sure it's everywhere. And make a Midwest or South.
It's an up-and-coming used game site. I think that's what they're going after on the internet. But Amazon, good Christ. Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts. Seems to be stuck at a resolute $26.99, which makes me sad because I did enjoy the game and I was hoping Rare would succeed a little bit, but it looks like it didn't. But I'm just saying, if you buy a DVD on Amazon, Call of Juarez, $8. It's a good way to get free shipping.
Wow.
For 360. I liked Call of Juarez, and they're making a sequel to it, so there's some faith in the product. Gears of Juarez, $8. By far the best deal, out and out. Never heard of them. Wouldn't bother to vouch for them. It's either Brandsmart or BrandsmartUSA.com. Resistance 2, $28.88.
Wow,
that's insane. If Michael was paying attention, his head would be blown.
It is
because I was paying attention.
Okay.
It is.
Because you think that just because I'm sitting here looking down, that means I'm not listening.
Well, let the people know yours.
I can dispel a myth. It is Brandsmart.
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 I would actually say Brandsmart is a better name.
It is. Brandsmart.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. BrandsmartUSA.com disagrees with you.
All right, and with that, we conclude our deal segment.
Take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
The community segment, are you ready?
Yes.
My question of the week last week was question 17, what's the sickest you've been and still gamed that you just demand you have to... Doesn't matter that you're puking up your guts. You got to keep playing. A lot of good entries. There's 5 pages to this thread. A lot of people getting the flu or ulcers or being sent to the hospital and broken collarbones.
Ulcers? We have people with ulcers
on
here?
Yeah, L-Pork are frequent.
Not my L-Pork!
Yeah. Trip 13G had a nosebleed so bad it filled up half his sink, and he played Advance Wars on the way to the emergency room.
Nose pinched in the ear.
Fog of War.
All
right. Goddamn Fog of War. But my favorite, which it's from my friend who's contributed a lot of sound effects, Creative Assassin. But it's the best story in my opinion because it's so true and honest. And I've known him since kindergarten, and I've never heard this story, so it means something that it showed up in a forum. And people asked for it. He said, because he mentioned one story about puking and then said, I have another one, but it's really gross. And people actually asked, tell us what it is.
I gotta know.
So, here it is. Sometime in 1991, I had something bad wrong with my stomach. I don't recall if it was a virus, food poisoning, or what. I was having difficulty maintaining control of my bowels. At the time, I was...
Sorry.
I was leaking yellow shit out of my ass uncontrollably. God, okay, I get it.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
At the time, I was running Ninja Gaiden 3. As a kid, I was seldom ever able to rent games, so renting was a big deal. He wasn't about to let a seeping asshole keep him from playing it. He formulated a plan, placed a towel down on the ground in front of the TV, and sat bare-assed, leaking yellow shit out of his 10-year-old ass, and played the fuck out of some Ninja Gaiden 3. And a happy ending, years later, that video store, which I'm going to say was probably Video Clips in Carterville, sold off all their NES games, and he bought his own copy of Ninja Gaiden 3, the same one he shit 2 years before.
Just a crumpled box art cover.
And it's a heartwarming ending.
And then I also... That's so great. People have songs that they fuck to. He has a game he shits to.
I kind of thought you were going to say, and years later, he found that towel. And it grew up to be Abraham Lincoln.
But I also have to give shout-outs to the forum users that appeared to have signed up just to answer the question. If I missed you before, Guy, G-U-Y, somehow that was not taken yet.
We got that.
I got him. Green Noodles. E. Schultz 27. Which is weird because I know a guy named Eden Schultz, and I don't think it's him because he was 10 years older than me. Amazing KG3.
Number one.
And Curly Jefferson.
That really works with that name.
Sorry. Curly Jefferson. There we go.
Wow, you are out of control with the sound
effect. Oh, man. I'm running out wild right now. Someone put a leash on this puppy.
And I'm then, God.
Shit. Pick your head up, dear.
I was laughing.
And the iTunes review of the week is written by profile name Antista is a God.
Thank you.
Thanks for writing that review, by the way, Chris.
You're welcome.
Says, this is the most amazing podcast I've ever heard, even though it does get a bit long at times. Believe me, it is worth listening to.
Ah, fuck you, man.
The sound effects, shameless comments, and characters that Chris Antista plays are truly priceless, so grab a beer and enjoy.
Aww. That is correct.
What's weird is that despite like 10 new 5-star reviews in the past week, our average is still 4.5.
Yeah, it's this couple of asshole idiots with 1-star. And if you can, and if you care, I would really prefer a 5-star rating. Call me crazy. I know you can amend your review. Just do it. Tyler be damned.
Yes, I think he's. I think he's coming back soon.
Oh, whatever. We'll see about that.
Is he over it yet? Or
he expressed interest in returning. So,
Who wants Tyler to come back?
It might be a little awkward.
Yeah.
After what happened.
You guys are stupid. So, anything else?
Let's consider Tyler case closed.
So, question of the week this week, which I'll be looking in the forums for your answers and reading them on next week's podcast.
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, there he is. It had been seconds since I heard that asshole yell something unintelligibly at me.
Because one I'm more. Wild, yeah!
How do you have so many?
The soundboard.
You want to see the soundboard?
Oh, my God.
I have not yet begun to shoot Randy Savage.
Are all of those links?
Yes, all the unreadable stuff, those are...
Wow.
Wait, just... You can cut this out if you'd like. I'm going to try and activate all of them at once.
From the tower of power, to sweet sweet now I'm funky like a monkey.
Hold on, I need to empty some of the blood out of my ear cups here.
I love
Of all of that, all I heard was monkey.
Yeah.
and yeah. All right, so question 18, which was submitted by Wikiparas, since I
Wikiparas.
I've been really, really stupidly busy this week to the point where I should not have agreed to as much shit as I agreed to. But it's a good one, and I had something lined up for it. So blah, blah, blah. Number 18, which I'll be looking in the forums and hoping that you answer so I can read it on next week's podcast. Number 35, which is a big deal for somebody.
Number 35?
Yeah, next week. This is
okay. I'm sorry. Sorry.
This is 34.
I thought you were talking about the question.
No. The question is 18, which is, what's a game?
No. If, as a kid, you ever, like, shut off the sound on your video games and played music over it, what music did you play and to what game?
Yeah, I'll have to find a way to summarize that in a subject headline for the forum thread. But, yeah, like, if you played a game and were like, I'm going to mute it. I want to play music over it instead.
Just make it ever play your own music over video games.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your comfort music when you turn the sound
off? Yeah, because I'm a huge video game music snob. I'm very specific and picky about that shit. So I really hate it when people turn game music down because it was made for a fucking reason. But after you've played it enough, you're like, all right, I know what the music is. I can turn it down. So for me, it was after Link to the Past. I'd gone through it several times, and I was like, I'm going to play through this with my own custom soundtrack in my CD player of Robert Miles.
Wow.
Which if you didn't know, was the song Children, which is somehow still played to this day on dance stations. But I didn't use Children because that was too well known. But every section of the game had its own track. I would associate, like, if I was in the overworld of Zelda, I would skip to track 4. If I was in a labyrinth, I'd skip to track 6. Boss battle, I'd skip to track this or whatever. I imagine 360's custom soundtracks feature makes that a lot easier this day. Because, like, I played all the way through Crackdown with Charlie.
Yeah.
Just using an iPod, just plugged it in and randomized everything. But the main thing that comes to my mind was I played Link to the Past. And I was trying to picture, what if Nintendo made a CD system and could have CD quality sound? This is what it would be like.
I thought you had said that you had listened to Jurassic Park soundtrack while you played games.
Oh, I listened to Jurassic Park soundtrack going all the way through Lost Vikings.
Ah.
Wow.
Which also has a fantastic soundtrack, but at some point I played it too much.
You want to know how I knew that?
How'd you know
that? I know what makes you tick.
Man, that guy's full of advice.
I can't. I thought I told you that I won't stop. Go ahead, Shane.
Okay.
we all talked over each other at once.
Oh shit. I'm like Brett. I love hearing the video game music because I just kind of like experiencing the game as a whole. But for some reason, in my angry, weird teenage adolescent phase. In middle school and in high school when I played through Resident Evil 2 and 3. Resident Evil 2, I listened to Evil Empire from Rage Against the Machine. And then the Battle of Los Angeles, which I won from a radio contest from Quad 106.5.
Hey, Shane, do a 7th caller and win this CD with a hole in it.
For Resident Evil 3, yeah. I guess I hated the establishment. But since then... basically, anytime I play SmackDown, I listen to whatever I just throw on iTunes or listen to my iPod. Most recent Charles Mingus and John Coltrane set to SmackDown. That's a lot of fun.
Hold on. Before you got something with that. Finish. Too classy.
I love jazz.
I'd also like to say, if you have any porn on hand, watching porn with Rammstein in the background is hilarious.
Shane showed me an all money shot clip done to a Metallica song.
Oh my god, yeah, time. That was hilarious.
Wait, what song was that?
Was it Master of Puppets?
Master of Puppets and just
Master!
And it would just be blast!
It was blast! It was just like shot. It was edited so well. It was a fan video of just money shots.
Master! God.
God damn.
Sucks.
I forgot I said
you
that.
Are proving everyone right, sir.
I'm sorry. Let me get mine out of the way just because I listened to a lot of music elsewhere. I walked around. Dude, I was that asshole in the 90s with a flannel shirt, and I broke apart my headphones and put them through my wrists like like a melodramatic Travis Bickle, and boom, would shoot out headphones and pretend and like listen to stuff in class. So when I get home, it's like it's time for movies. So I listen to Clerks and Pulp Fiction. Like,
I would play a game.
I would rewind that and I had very few VHSs, so like Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Jurassic Park. I just rewind and I'd listen to the audio of the movie over and over again.
What did you play while listening to Pulp Fiction?
Absolutely everything on the Super Nintendo and the Genesis. Absolutely everything. I did like game music, but it came to a point when you're replaying something for the
time.
Where it was grating on my soul. So I would much rather listen to an hour and a half movie while I played for an hour and a half, and it gave me good time to jump out. When the movie's over, I should probably stop playing. Right? Michael's nodding his head.
Yeah.
I'm crazy.
I actually have two things like this. Custom soundtracks make it really easy now, but back in the day I used to play, and this is going to be a real blasphemy, it was Castlevania 3 with the B-52's Cosmic Thing.
What the shit?
Wow.
Yeah, I know, and I would actually...
It's a dinosaur toothbrush!
I had
Michael's
just...
poor decision!
It was one of my first CDs that I ever got, like, after we got a CD player, and I used to, like... Every time I'd die and have to restart the level, I'd rewind. It just set the CD back to the beginning of the.
My God,
I got me an Xbox. It's as big as a whale.
So then you know Channel Z very well.
I do.
Oh man, that song. My dad driving down the beaches of Pensacola, Florida, listening to two CDs: Top Gun soundtrack, B-52s. That's it.
The other thing I did was I had Ninja Turtles for the NES,
nice!
The original one, and I had a beta tape of the Ninja Turtles cartoon, and I would play the theme song over the game's opening sequence, and then I would switch over and listen to the game's opening music with the cartoon's opening sequence, which was really weird and didn't really fit at all.
No. Michael wins. What, were you a Turtle Power guy or a... What was the MC Hammer song on that soundtrack?
T-U-R-T-L-E Power.
Yes.
There's Turtle Power, and what did I say?
T-U-R-T-L-E Power.
I was 9. More of a 9.
Raphael. He's leader of the group transformed
this
from the new by the nuclear group.
This
Peach is the food that's sure to please. These ninjas are into pepperoni and cheese. Now back to the story. It's not hard to find. Ninjas not just of the body, but of the mind. I can do the whole fucking song.
I think we have an ending song.
I know the whole song.
These are the words of your... What is it? Your something,
it
your master... Evil moves fast, but good moves faster than light, shining fear.
Yeah.
Oh, God!
Good versus evil. Wait, good versus evil equals confrontation. So whenever you're in trouble, don't give in and go sour. Try to rely on your turtle power.
Ooh,
yeah. We are old.
Get April O'Neil in on this
case.
Yeah,
I got a quarter. Give me a reporter. Call April O'Neil.
That was the first cassette tape I ever owned, was the Ninja Turtle soundtrack.
Oh,
spin
God.
That wheel.
It was probably the first cassette I ever bought at Pizza Hut, the coming out of their shell store.
Coming out of our shells.
Yeah. Somehow I remember playing that at Pizza Hut along with the Back to the Future glasses.
Sure. It was a great time to be a child. Yep.
The 80s just all sort of run together.
Even if they're the 90s.
Well, whatever.
I know. Well,
88 to 92 is like the same year pretty much.
I brought that up before. All the decades you know them as start in the middle of that decade.
All right, let's get
a great way to go out.
Let's
a great
go.
Way to go out. All right, next week I'm going to have a skate article and hopefully a preview on a little game I can't even say the title of anymore.
It's GTA Chinatown Wars.
Oh, yeah. So it is.
You'll be able to talk about that. I posted this week as well a longest game names feature, which is... literally one page and is just funny to look at. It's nothing special, but it's worth a laugh. And next week, I'm doing the top 7, which we'll be talking about, and I'm kind of fretting over writing at this particular moment.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And remember, who else is doing a feature next week?
Anybody? I am.
What do you got?
Hey, everybody. We got a new president next week.
Huh.
That's going to be inaugurated. And he's going to have some promises he's going to have to uphold. Vaguely relating to that, what are some unfulfilled promises in gaming?
That's right.
I'm going to talk about them.
There be many. And when you see Shane's article go up on the front page, make sure you...
oh my God.
Nickel.
Yeah, I don't have anything to tease, sorry. What? Stuff is like 2 weeks away.
Is it? Wait, God damn it. Really? I'm just going to sit here and fume and look at you.
Okay. The only response I can come up with is to masturbate openly.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, please let this be the end of the soundboard.
All right, it will. I will just leave you with a little bit of words of wisdom from Sir Savage.
What it is what it is. He's the leader of the group, transformed from the norm by the nuclear goop. Pizza's the food that's sure to please. These ninjas are into pepperoni and cheese. Back to the story, it's not hard to find. Ninjas not just of the body, but of the mind. Those were the words that the master instructed. But a letter from Shredder had Splinter abducted. That was the last straw, spring into action. Step on the foot, now they're gonna lose traction. Now this is for real, so you fight for justice. Your shell is hard, so you shout, they can't dust us all. Like some old coffee table. Since you've been born, you've been willing and able to defeat the snake, protect the weak, fight for rights and your freedom to speak. Now the villain is chilling, so you make a stand. Back to the wall, put your sword in your hand. Remember the words of your teacher, your master. Evil moves fast, but good moves faster than light. Shining for your illumination. Good versus evil equals confrontation. So when you're in trouble, don't give in and go sour. Try to rely on your turtle power.